Hi everyone, and thank you very much for joining us on another episode of Lit Publishing's podcast, Lit Radio. My name is Biro, and I will be your host for today's show. With me today is a very special guest in a series of two podcasts, and I'm very happy to have him on. It is Andrew Kinder. How are you today, Andrew?
Yes, very good. Very good. It's raining outside, but there we go. I'm still cheery in the heart.
Absolutely. And of course, Andrew is one of the authors of The Positive Male Mind. And we are very happy to have him today on the podcast. And of course, for those listening, he is a chartered counseling occupational psychologist who is the professional head of mental health services at Optima Health. And once again, thank you very much for joining us today on the podcast, Andrew. And let's get into the discussion about the positive male mind, because it is such a fascinating book. And before we get into it, I really want to ask you, what inspired you to actually, you know, become an author and start writing?
Well, I think it's, as a man myself, I've worked with men over many, many years, 25 years, and it has struck me, particularly working with sort of large organizations, that men aren't usually the usual group in counseling, because there's quite a lot of stigma to kind of put your hand up and actually say, actually, I need a bit of support, or I need to recognize, or these issues I need to work with someone externally with. So it sort of dawned on me that actually, I, as a man myself, I need to sort of speak out a bit more that, you know, mental health affects all of us. And men, I think, have a greater stigma. And so the book's written with Sean Davis from Royal Mail, because we have a long working relationship in Royal Mail, and we want to actually get on get men on the agenda, so they seek help a bit more proactively. And it's okay. It's part of normal life. It's a bit like, you know, our mental health and our physical health are kind of quite linked, and they're quite similar, but often mental health is not really talked about. It's not really recognized as important as our physical health. So really, it's about trying to get mental health on the agenda a bit more, particularly for men, and also women who may be able to help men access this help.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is a very, I think, in my opinion, interesting topic there when it comes to male mental health in particular. And of course, Sean will be joining us on the second part of this podcast, but we'll be talking to him about the book as well. But let's focus a bit on the meat of the contents of the book. But I really want to ask you, Andrew, you know, male mental health, as you mentioned, you know, there was a bit of, well, there what still exists perhaps a level of stigma about it, but recent years really have brought forward the discussion about it. What, in your opinion, has been the catalyst for this? What really brought forward, you know, the question of why aren't we discussing male mental health? Where is the stigma coming from, and how did this discussion become so relevant?
Well, there's quite a lot of questions there. Let's sort of take it back that really we're reflecting society, and that men perhaps have been seen as, well, been sort of brought up to be strong, the silent type, not express feelings are kind of almost like weak. And I think we've been socialized into that. And again, I'm making generalizations, but there are men who aren't like this. But I think it's about the macho world, and particularly the macho world in organizations. And so it's come from this idea that if we can sort of accept that men do have feelings, and it is okay to talk, and it's not a weakness, it's actually a strength to seek help, then I think we can make some good progress. And I'll just make one other point is, obviously, with the Royals who talk about you know, mental health, that's a fantastic boost. And that's one of the reasons why I think this has particularly now become quite very topical, if I can say it.
Yes, absolutely. And let's talk a bit about mental health itself. When it comes to men, what is the most common condition in men, and how can we, more importantly, perhaps begin to spot the signs?
Well, I mean, mental health is a wide continuum from sort of mild to moderate mental health issues, which may be anxiety, depression, or bereavement reaction, right to the more the serious and enduring things like bipolar. But the I think the key thing is that men, because they're not talking about these things, have a higher suicide rate than women. So if you look at the total number of suicides, men account for about three quarters of all the wow. suicides in the UK, which is quite terrifying, really. And I think the other thing is that men tend to see the GP when things are quite chronic, almost like the last sort of gasp, as it were, rather than taking care of yourself before things get to an extreme state. And we also run a helpline for Royal Mail, an employee assistance program for them. And that's also the case that when we get men calling, either they're phoning for someone else, which actually perhaps is actually them, or it tends to be for, like, if it's a debt issue, it can be when, you know, the bailiffs are knocking at the door. So what we're trying to do through this is actually get men to seek help much earlier.
Absolutely. And you mentioned there that so many suicides are actually men. Is there any particular factor that really sticks out in such a piece of information? Is there any particular age range that perhaps is more affected, or is it something to do with perhaps a job or, you know, personal problems?
I mean, the suicide rates are very multifaceted, you know, the reasons. So men would more use fatal means. Sometimes I'm aware of quite a lot of cases where you have men who no one even realised there was any issue and until they took their lives, unfortunately. There are links between suicide and things like alcohol, or trauma from the past that hasn't been dealt with, maybe linked to the military, for example. I think there are also men tend to use more fatal means. So there are high occupational groups which have a high risk, such as nurses, doctors, dentists, farmers. So there is also the point about, you know, access to lethal means that may relate to this. But actually, if you look at the age range, it does go up rapidly in sort of the late teens, 20s, 40s, 50s is a high area of suicide, maybe because there's greater financial pressures at that sort of time in life. And you have maybe a kind of sandwich generation where you've got the aging workforce, so elder care, and you've also got greater pressure for children, or things aren't going well in a relationship with your partner, and you can get a relationship breakdown, which I think is another cause of mental health issues.
Yeah, absolutely, and fascinating insight there. And let's talk a bit about the role of employers. In your opinion, where do they stand when it comes to their workers' mental well-being, and how do they begin to assist them with it?
Well, the book actually has a whole chapter on this because we felt it was really important to highlight that employers can make a massive difference to men's mental health. So we outline in the chapter what the employee kind of can expect, and if there are issues like perceptions of bullying and harassment, it outlines what you can do about that, and also highlights that the manager has a crucial role to play, so that they can pick up if someone's showing signs of not coping or signs of maybe, you know, they used to be the life and soul of the party and now they're very quiet, withdrawn, or the employee discloses that something has gone wrong at home. And just to try and take them to one side in a private area and just to sort of ask the question, are you okay? You know, do you want to talk about this? So the employer can give the manager tools, helping the manager understand those conversations make a real difference, and to give him the manager information on where you can refer that individual on such as to an employee assistance program or occupational health, or indeed suggest to the employee that they should see their GP.
Yes, absolutely. And just to follow on from that, I really want to, I guess, as you were talking, there was something that really kind of struck out for me when it comes to employment and when it comes to employers being involved. And that's the other area of technology, simply because in our 10 the last decade, we've had such rapid technological growth. And with it, I would definitely say more high levels of stress, more high levels of engagement at work, you know, having access to emails at all times. Do you think that that's been a significant factor in contributing to higher stress levels and in turn facilitating, you know, all of these conditions that are, you know, they're coming up at the workplace and perhaps managers were not aware that, that they could have been going on?
I think technology has, you know, huge potential. And if we can harness it, then that would be fantastic. But there are also great dangers. I mean, there are some organizations where you have like emails being actually banned, so internal email, just as a way of trying to make the manager actually speak to their staff. Or in some organization, I think in Europe, email, the servers have been turned off, for example, at weekends or at the end of each working day. So email and social media, particularly regarding to work, is all about expectations. So employers can do a lot of good, I think, to set down what is expected and really the idea that you send an email and you get an instant reply at, you know, at the weekend. I mean, that does send the wrong message, I think, to the workforce, unless it really is urgent.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to follow on from that, what was really interesting to me in the book was the various amounts of data and research included. And some of the numbers truly are, well, can be quite shocking. Something that really was, I guess, a point for me there was that a lot of the LGBT side of male mental health can actually be affected by a larger degree. Why do you think this is happening, especially when it comes to depression in bisexual men or, you know, homosexual men? Is there any reason for them to be experiencing higher levels of this?
Well, that is something we highlighted in the book, and quite rightly, it's an area of interest and further research. I don't think we fully understand the reasons why that community has greater sort of percentage of mental health issues. It could be to do with how society is changing, but how there has been historically maybe some negative views. But I think things are changing, and I guess the idea of transgender men and women, that's another area where workplaces need to really review their practices and their policies so that they're more welcoming and you know, discrimination is tackled, really. So I think it's an area of change. I don't think we fully understand, but I think I should say the workplaces are very important, potential places of safety and also of support from colleagues, and also the workplace gives you great meaning and a purpose. So if we can focus on that for every group, I think that would be fantastic. And also the linked point to that is, if you think about unemployment, if you look at all the statistics, unemployment is the biggest predictor of mental ill health. So the more we can do to keep people in the work and help them back when they've perhaps been off sick with a mental health issue or a physical issue, the better their general well-being is going to be. And it makes sense for the employer as well.
Yeah, absolutely agreed on that point. And to follow up, I really want to ask you the question I ask anyone that actually comes on the podcast, Andrew, and that's, what are you currently reading, or do you perhaps have any recommendations for our listeners?
Well, I'm actually reading around the area of suicide, funny enough, because it is an area that I'm trying to look at maybe writing another book in relation to that. So that's maybe a bit heavy. And there's also a book that I've written with two other authors called The Wellbeing Workout. So that's something I kind of dip into myself. Is a bit sort of more lighter than the area of suicide.
Great. And for our listeners, if that sounds interesting to you, there will be links in the description below, so you can go and you can check out those titles as well. But with that, I'd like to thank you very much, Andrew, for taking the time to join us today on the podcast to discuss what I think is a very important topic.
Thanks very much.
And of course, if you enjoyed our conversation today and you think that you have something to say to us, please do reach out on social media. We always love hearing the feedback from our listeners, and we very much look forward to it. And if you also are interested in the book, there will be links in the description below where you can go and you can find out more about The Positive Male Mind: Overcoming Mental Health Problems. It is out now, and I urge you to go and check it out. Again, descriptions in the link below. And once again, thank you very much, Andrew, and I look forward to seeing our listeners on next week's podcast.